pets, and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John O'Lobster. It's the timeless tale of a little boy who lies sick in bed one wintry Chicago day. He plays a video game called Hardball, produced by Accolade Inc. in 1985 for the Commodore 64 computer system. It's the bottom of the third inning, and Alan steps up to the plate.
What kind of story is this? Is this a trick? I thought we were doing something epic for the 400th episode.
Keep your shirt on, and let me read. Now, where was I? Right. This movie has everything. Fencing, fighting, torture, revenge, giants, monsters, chases, escapes, true love, miracles. It's the Princess Bride, and this is Legends 400.
Are we watching Deadpool? Is this a joke?
Yeah, Once Upon a Deadpool, right? We've kidnapped Fred Savage and we're forcing him to.
I hope they have that same bag of 1986 Cheetos in the background.
I hope so too, yeah.
That would be great, actually.
They're cutting out all the naughty bits, is what I hear.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the point. Yeah.
400. What the fuck?
So
we've been doing that a long time.
I was astonished to learn that you had never talked about The Princess Bride as a film as part of your podcast. Because when I think about legendary movies, I mean, this has to be up there. You know, it's not an Oscar-winning film, but in terms of popular acclaim and certainly quotability, it is at the top of the list, right?
Well, I just want to make clear that we had to argue with you because Beef and I were certain that we did. We're at this point, after 400, you're right. Not sure what you did anymore.
Right, there's movies that we'll probably talk about and it'll be your third time. I know we're coming next week with a second opinion, so a movie that, before I joined the cast, became part of the lexicon of bad movies. And I'm going to try to convince you
otherwise. You're trying to dig it out of the class one bad movie?
I've been saying for the last 90 episodes that this is actually a good movie and doesn't deserve to be in the same category as Spring Breakers or Dungeons and Dragons, the movie.
Actually, I changed my mind with Spring Breakers as well. So,
oh, wow. Just rewrite the whole book then, why don't you?
Yeah, that's we're going to have to go back. Damn.
We gotta pull it from next January.
The next 400 episodes of Legends Podcast will us be rewatching everything.
Right. Backwards.
Right. No,
I mean,
no.
You could do that. Like, your opinions on movies change over time. And this one, I think, for what it's worth, to bring it back to The Princess Bride, it was not a box office success. It cost $16 million to make. It only made $30 million. So, you know, it didn't really stagger the box office. But I think the posterity or the film has definitely aged well. And as people go back and revisit it, it really has, I think, become a classic.
It has become a classic. Is it the internal culture that brought back this movie, though?
Well, I think the internet is part of it.
Yeah.
But I think people were quoting this movie long before the internet. And, you know, that was kind of one of the early memes, I think, was saying inconceivable or, you know, I don't think that word means what you think it means. Or certainly, hello. My name is Inigo Montoya.
Oh,
you
man.
Killed my father. That prepare to
my,
die.
Just from my childhood alone, that was...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dubbing of that movie was not that great. I rediscovered it in English, like, when I met you guys, basically.
Yeah, I can't apologize for how you watched it originally, but certainly as an English language film, it holds up.
Well, Andre the Giant has the huge accent from around here, which is super funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes.
It's, to me, it almost, I mean, because I watched it a ton as a kid, you know, 87. Mm. So it was a VHS that we had. But it, I don't know, it's still campy and it's still fun, but it's, I don't know, it's so over the top now as an adult that I'm glad there's like some highbrow comedy in it too.
Uh-huh.
It's not just for kids. I don't know. It's
no, you're absolutely right. This is a movie for kids, but it's very much an adult sort of tale, right? I mean, it's got parental murder,
revenge,
like planning wife killing and things like that.
Just one of them kissy stories.
Yeah, it's one of those kissing stories, you know. Which, you know, once you get to be a certain age, you're not going to mind so much, right?
No, exactly. You just go, can you have more detail of that kissing? And where does that go?
Hey, steady.
Where does his six-fingered hand end up?
My girlfriend goes, is that Billy Crystal? And I'm like, no, that can't be. I thought that was...
Of course it is.
Oh, what's his name from Spaceballs? Not Yoda.
Mel Brooks?
Yeah, I thought it was freaking Mel Brooks.
No,
my
it's
whole
Billy
life.
Crystal and Carol Kane.
So great.
He does look like Mel Brooks in there, so...
And this is Rob Reiner directing right off of This is Spinal Tap. And of course, he's using Christopher Guest again. But he's also drawing on this amazing book by William Goldman, who also wrote the screenplay. And the book itself kind of has a similar framing device where it's, you know, a tale told by an author relating the work of another author. But in this case, it's a grandfather reading to his grandson, which I think with Peter Falk and Fred Savage setting up sort of the framing narrative device for this is so great.
Yeah, it's fun because you play with the meta as well.
Oh, absolutely.
In the media.
And they spoil the end of the movie. You find out that Prince Humperdinck lives, like nothing happens to him. And you're like, what? That can't be true. And it is not like he lives, and that's kind of the point.
That's true. But yes, it is a fun movie. The casting is brilliant from from A to Z. I mean, everybody is good. We don't make these anymore.
I don't think we do. I think to the point of what this movie tries to do, it's an original script. It is based on a book, but it's not necessarily like a hit novel either. There were people who were involved in the movie that had read the book when they were younger, and so like Cary Elwes, for example, was like knew the book and knew the character of Wesley, but never like imagined that he would play Wesley. But I think what this film does so well is it takes these risks and it totally owns what it is. This is not a movie that has been focus grouped. This has not been, done by a writer's room. It's the guy who wrote the book does the movie and pretty faithfully does, as much as the budget allows.
Rodents of the ROUS.
What about the ROUSs? I don't believe they exist.
Oh, God, that's funny. Yeah. They're not even realistic. They don't care.
No.
It's the good old data. We don't care.
Oh, trivia?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Cary who?
Cary Elwes, yes.
Cary Elwes is in a handful of episodes of Stranger Things Season 3.
Oh.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
But we haven't seen that yet, right?
No, we haven't seen that's next year.
Very good. Very exciting. And certainly he goes from this to a movie that we've already discussed on this podcast, which is Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Tights.
Unlike some Robin Hoods, I can speak in an English accent. But I think, just overall... So many great roles in here. So many great lines. Mandy Patinkin as Inigo Montoya is a scene-stealing character. Like, he just owns every scene that he's in, and yet he's in scenes with Wallace Shawn, Andre the Giant. Just amazing work that he does here. And he said that this is his favorite role of all time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can see that, though. He, like you said, he steals every scene. He steals the movie as well. When I haven't seen that movie for a while and I revisit it, that he was the only thing I remembered.
Yeah.
So Yeah, he's. I love his performance, and even in French.
Yeah,
I still love him.
Very good.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
And of course, we have as someone who recently tied the knot, Mawedge. Wav to Wav, that blessed arrangement.
Who is he? Where is?
He's the impressive clergyman, Peter Cook.
Ah, yes, yes.
So, you know, I could go on and on about this movie and gush over it, but like, what do you think about this movie makes it legendary?
I haven't voted it yet. Jesus, God.
No. I mean, not to really, like, get too
show
far
your
ahead.
Hand.
not to show my hand, but I mean, I, for one, thought this would be a good 400th episode because I think it is a legendary film in terms of what it accomplishes with the art of filmmaking without being too self-serious, right? Like, I used to do a podcast called Art House Legends where we talked a lot about movies and, like, what movies mean and what is the filmmaker trying to say and what is his message or her message here. But this is a movie that the message is love conquers all, but
even death.
Even death. But have some fun. Like, movies can be fun. And I think this movie harkens back to the fact that you can have a great time at the movies without a huge budget and explosions and
it connecting to 7,000 other movies.
Right. And to build a giant franchise around it. Like, I think that's okay.
I agree. The idea is that in those days, again, the visual, you need to get with it. You have to remember it's in the child's mind or something, but it looks cheap. Let's be honest.
It's okay. There's a lot of map paintings that happened, and you know,
you
it's
go.
All right.
So if you get in there, it's a classic story with a comedy twist. But it is a classic story of, like, there's a little bit of a hero's journey. There's a little bit of romance in there. Everything that he says, there's a little bit of everything for everyone. And they were able to keep the balance with the pacing. And I think that's where this movie shines the most. The editor of this movie is amazing because you have a beat every 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes. And it's a different beat. And you're in a different movie. So.
And it makes you forget the framing device and then will pull you out at exactly the right time. Like, you know, she doesn't die. She doesn't get eaten by the eels. Well, I know. Well, you looked a little nervous. And they let you, just when you're getting sucked into the story, they kind of pull you out and remind you that this is a movie or this is a story. Like, it's the same thing when Wesley dies and he says he's dead. Like, well, what do you mean he's dead? Like, he's the main character. He can't die.
Yeah.
It has fun with you as the viewer or, you know, the listener. But at the same time, it isn't taking itself too seriously, but it is admitting that it knows you're getting sucked in. It knows you're getting invested in the characters.
Yeah, because at some points in time, it is almost irritating when they do pop out. You're like, what's going on? Stop it. you guys are saying, though, it kind of looks cheap, it kind of this and that. But again, it's the time that it was in. And you know that it's, I don't know, to me, it's like anime. When I watch an 80s movie, I expect it to be one thing. And if I can get behind the, I don't know, artwork like on an anime or the crappy story on a B-rate sci-fi or the comedy on this or, you know, Robin Hood Men in Tights, I can deal with it.
Yeah, but this works differently because it's supposed to be a story. So these are quote-unquote set in a theater in some ways. So I think it goes through the test of time because of that meta way of seeing the movie.
But they also do what Game of Thrones does. They filmed on location in England.
Yeah, well, when you do that, it changed everything. Nobody wants to do that anymore.
Right, and I think that is part of what adds to the reality of the film. So rather than saying, oh, it's England and it looks like Southern California, then
that's a billboard. You know,
yeah, right. Like, rather than say, oh, it's this European country, they actually film in a European country and use the sort of natural beauty of the landscape, or use what's there, you know, actual, like, castles and stuff, to stand in for your imagination.
Oh, yeah, change everything. Nobody wants to move cameras anymore.
Right, but that's something that Game of Thrones, I think, has made people... Game of Thrones, the TV show... has made people rediscover in a way, because what they do really, really effectively is they'll shoot with basically a real place, and then they might do a little CGI in the background to make it look like the castle's bigger than it is, or look like it's in a city or whatever. And that's essentially what this movie does, which is they film in a real place and then put a matte painting as the background.
Yeah.
You just got and.
All right. That usually means he agrees with me, so.
Totally.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Do we have more notes for the 400th movie part, or part of our 400th cast?
Well, it's also timely. William Goldman, unfortunately, passed away last month.
Oh, no.
So I think this, you know, it was kind of a timely moment to talk about this film as well. And certainly when we're looking at the success of fantasy filmmaking and storytelling, and certainly the influence that this has had on other properties, you know, it's an important moment, I think.
Yes, it is. I was just thinking that the influence that this movie has overall is more seen in the last 5 years, and will be more seen in the last next 5 to 10 years,
because right.
the filmmakers that are making the movies right now
right.
grew
right.
up
the
with it.
The people that grew up with it, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I got lost in that thought.
No, I think that's a really great thought. I mean, it's the people who were Fred Savage's age when they saw the film the first time, right? Like,
yeah.
I unfortunately did not see this in my childhood. Somehow I missed this and didn't watch it until I was a grown up.
Wow.
And, you know, my life, I think, is poorer for that. So
it totally
okay,
you've
is. Seen it now.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it now, and I, like, love it, but I think the fact that I kind of missed it when I was a kid, you know, I really feel like I missed something.
Okay, well,
That's a sad thought to say, but, you know, it's important, I think, if anything that this podcast does helps other people discover movies that they haven't checked out, then I think it's worth it.
That's a good point. That's what we've started with. I want to watch that. I haven't seen that. And we moved on to discover a bunch of shit.
Yeah, good stuff, bad stuff. That's okay.
Yeah.
Good.
All right, so shall we rate this puppy?
I think we should.
All right, Wing, for the Princess Bride, are you going legendary?
As you wish.
Legend.
But what I really mean is, I love this movie.
Legend of its time.
If only I could think of a rhyme. Anybody want a peanut?
Cult legend.
In my day, television was called a book.
Awesome.
Like a dream within a dream.
Entertaining.
You were not entertained? Inconceivable.
Mabel.
Ha, you fool! You fell victim to one of the classic blunders, the most famous of which is never get involved in a land war in Asia, but only slightly less well-known is this movie.
Forgettable.
Mostly terrible is still slightly good.
Abysmal.
Oh, God.
Boo! Boo! Rubbish! Filth! Slime! Muck! Boo! Boo! Boo!
Spring Breakers, Highlander, D&D.
Once Upon a Deadpool. Even though I haven't seen it, I kind of imagine.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of, no, to the pain.
Well, I'm going to go for that one with more of a cult legend.
Huh?
For anyway, ear. Because why don't you try to reference that ear and French Canada, Quebec. Most people don't remember that thing.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get into geek culture, into any kind of sub-movie culture, this comes up right away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give it a solid, solid cult legend. And as I was saying, I think the nostalgia is bringing back this movie to a certain platform, and people are discovering it. So it's a good thing, as long as they don't remake it. So, cult legend.
Mm.
Beef?
I will have to agree with you and say, in my day, television was called a book with cult legend. I do enjoy this movie. It's just, I don't know. I kind of grew out of it a bit in my old age, but I still really enjoy it. I know. I don't know. I was happy, though, that there were still enough jokes.
You sad grown up.
I know. I am a sad grown up. You know what? I would probably like the book better. But no, I did enjoy it. I still had fun with it. I remembered it from my childhood. So there's a, you know, sight of nostalgia on there. To the pain. But I would recommend this to people, as I always do. So, yeah, cult legend. Lobster.
You want me to rate it?
Sure.
As you wish.
Huh.
But what I really mean is I love this movie. Maybe last year, I bought my parents The Princess Bride.
Nice.
Because I knew that I had never watched it when I was a kid. So I assumed that they had never seen it. So I made them sit down and watch it because, you know, I don't think you're really ever too old to enjoy something like this. And they loved it. And, you know, I really think that speaks to the power of what the film achieves. Like I said, it's not self-serious. It is not trying to drive home some preachy message, even though it's basically the moral of the story is shut up and enjoy the story. Like, just let the story happen and you'll have a good time. And I think that speaks a lot to the power of filmmaking. I think that speaks a lot to the power of storytelling. And that's legendary, man. There are so many movies out there that get so focused either on the message that they're trying to tell or just the fact that they want to blow you away with spectacle that they forget to just be good movies. And this is just a good movie. It's just a good movie. I dare anyone to watch it and not enjoy themselves. So it is 100% legendary.
Do you feel a little cheated that she didn't even have an inkling that those could have been his eyes? I mean,
they are like the sea after a storm.
Oh dear.
So how could you forget?
Last word on Princess Bride.
As you wish.
R-O-U-S's.
I don't believe they exist.
Beef? What time is it?
What time is it?
News time.
Epic news time. All right. Box office, no big surprises in spite of the fact that we are knee deep in the Hollywood movie season. Hey. Last weekend was a bit of a respite, a bit of a breather before we have some big name releases coming in the next few weeks. So there was only one new wide release. It was a horror movie, which is weird for this time of year. It wasn't even a Christmas themed horror
like
movie.
Krampus or
yeah right, like but it did about as well as Krampus. It only made $6 million. Oop. So it's there. One interesting bit of trivia about this movie, The Possession of Hannah Grace, it only cost $10 million to make, and they shot it with $2,000 off the shelf cameras, so saved them a lot of money.
Blair Witch,
I mean, basically, right? Like,
no, Blair Witch costs $20,000. This costs $10 million.
$10 million, yeah.
It means they're going to make money.
It's because they dropped a lot of cameras.
Right, and they didn't have anyone who was actually a movie star in it.
Anyway, the big fun part, as you said, is later when we get to the Weekend of Death. That's coming.
Yes, Death is coming.
What?
But yeah,
it's Bumblebee, Aquaman, Mary Poppins, Deadpool, and there's something
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah, here we go.
Yep.
All the same day.
Yeah, I'm going to see Spider-Man next weekend. For sure.
So there's big stuff coming. The Grinch and Creed 2 flip-flopped. Last weekend they went 3-2. This weekend they're 2-3, which is interesting.
Yeah, I can see that, though. We're getting closer to Christmas. Parents dump the kids at the Grinch. They go buy some shit. They come back.
But I have to say, the biggest news this week by far revolved around streaming television.
Yuck.
And there's a lot to say, a lot to unpack, and a lot that really informs basically what we've been saying all year, which is the streaming landscape is getting more and more complicated, and they're not afraid to kill all their darlings in service
of
making money or whatever it is they think they're doing. The first story, I think, and this rocked us late last week, right after we recorded, Daredevil canceled by Netflix after its third season just premiered.
While they were in the writer's room writing and had season 4 basically all planned and plotted out.
Basically planning it out, and they were really excited about where they were going to take it. And
why would...
Yeah, but don't make that sound harsher than it is. As long as the show starts airing, you keep writing because you don't know when you're going to get canceled.
No, right.
Every
I get
canceled
that.
Show was like frustrated with stuff on the wall.
I get that. That's fine. But still, this is still so shitty because, A, it has been good TV, and now if we ever see these characters again, it'll never be these characters. It'll be the same characters, but not these actors and actresses playing.
Right.
And that kind of does it a disservice.
Well,
are we sure of that?
We aren't sure
about
that.
It's all the rumors.
Because the rumor is that the cancellation was because somehow Disney didn't want to share its toys, and they are creating their own streaming service, as we know, Disney Plus, and they kind of want to get some of their IP back on their own turf.
They don't want to have to buy Netflix to get their stuff back, basically.
Right.
Like they're doing with Fox.
So we do know that the episodes of Daredevil and Luke Cage and Iron Fist that have already been made are going to stay on Netflix, but the future home could be Disney Plus. We don't know what exactly will transfer over, in what form. I think it's a shitty thing to do overall because, again, it won't necessarily be the same people. It won't necessarily be the same
stories. Oh, that was like
stories.
The first show on Netflix. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it honestly, my gut reaction was, I don't really need Netflix anymore now, because to me, that was one of the reasons why that service was valuable.
Yeah, but they have Ozark, and they have a handful of other good things that are still a lot of fun.
They have a handful of other good stuff, but nothing that was rising to the level of now 5 interconnected great shows about comic book characters. Oof. I love.
Okay. You really love all these shows? There's two good shows in these 5.
to varying degrees, every 4 months, I had good stuff I was excited to watch. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't necessarily know before I watched it whether or not
it was going to be Iron Fist-y.
Whether it was going to be Jessica Jones season 1 or Iron Fist season 1. Okay, fair point. But I think it definitely added to the value of the service that I could basically count on every 3 months having another one of these shows that was new and exciting.
So my question, you considered canceling.
I did.
Are you canceling?
No, not yet. And I'm going to give them time to
make it right,
earn my trust back. But fool me twice, shame on me. Like, I'm done, you know?
But I think that's where the change that we're living right now is that when we start, you and me, when we started with Netflix these years ago, well, basically they were alone, so everybody was dumping their stuff there. And when everybody opened their eyes, they were like, what the fuck are we doing?
Right.
they're backing off. I think that Marvel / Disney tested the water with these shows, mm-hmm. and I am sure that they have claws in there to get their character back and all of that, because Marvel Studio is a producer on these shows as well, so they do own part of it. So maybe they don't own the distribution
right.
of these TV shows that have been made, but everything they do in the future, if they want to keep continuity and all that, I am sure that they did not sell that.
And I think one of the most interesting factors, and we talked about this a little bit a week or two ago with Star Trek Discovery. So there's a company called Parrot Analytics that is...
They're all over all of a sudden.
That is trying to be the new Nielsen, basically. Yeah. And they're trying to figure out, how do you measure the success of a show like Daredevil that doesn't release... Netflix is very cagey about releasing actual viewing figures, although they claim to use it as part of their decision-making process. And they're very hesitant to release total numbers of people who subscribe because of Daredevil or cancel because of Daredevil or whatever. So Parrot has this thing where they look at demand expressions, the total audience demand being expressed for a title within a country on any platform. So they'll look at people talking about it on social media, photo sharing, blogging, microblogging, fan and critic rating, peer-to-peer protocols, file sharing, video streaming sites, really any way that people express that they're interested in watching something. And obviously, it's not a perfect system.
This is 65 pages of gibberish. I mean, this is...
Did you look through the report
yeah,
that we shared?
Yeah, I did look through probably the first 10 or 15 pages. This is what my credit score company does, too. Every time I fart yeah, mm-hmm. or pay a bill or yep. don't fart and not pay a bill, like yeah. my credit jumps 30 or 40 points. I mean, this is... Right. I'm glad that someone is doing something over Nielsen, but this is still so... shotgun blast.
Well, it's interesting too, because if you dig through the report, you can find how people are finding new shows, either word of mouth, yep. social media, recommendation on your home screen when you log in, internet browsing, advertisements, things like that, demand trends in different countries. So total share of demand for platforms, again, 71% Netflix in the United States. That's almost three quarters of the pie chart is red. So that's interesting. Trends in the U.S. for demand for certain shows, and then it digs into trends in other countries. By and large, so if you take what they say are the top digital original series in the U.S., all of them in the top 20 belong to Netflix, except for three: Star Trek Discovery, Runaways, and The Handmaid's Tale.
There's one as well, too, that like Netflix was top in all countries except Australia yep. or something.
Yeah, right. So this is all really, really interesting stuff. And if you dig through a lot of it, Marvel's Iron Fist, Marvel's Daredevil, Defenders, Punisher, all of those will be in the top 20 in a lot of these. So it's very interesting. Thankfully, Castlevania is showing up. Stranger Things is showing up high yeah. on the list.
There's only like two or four max in every country that aren't Netflix. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's not a lot of these streaming service anyway. I mean, here yeah. there's... Do you call that a streaming service? I don't think so, but you know, the CBC.
No,
yeah.
I meant
the website.
Like Amazon Video or CBS All Access or Hulu. A lot of these countries, it's maybe for one or two other
right,
shows.
Right.
Otherwise, it's strictly Netflix.
Yeah, there you go. But like here, what I have available here is Prime and Netflix. And
okay.
Prime is super frustrating because I see the same shit that you see. I click on it and they're like, oh yeah, you can't watch that.
Trust me, Prime is frustrating for us too, because if I go in and search, it's like, oh, you can get this, and I go to click on it, it's like, only Prime. I'm like, I'm yep. in Prime.
Yeah, that's fucking, yeah.
Luckily, also Black Mirror tends to be up at the top of a lot of these lists.
Did you see that news? So, someone from a Netflix branded or approved verified Twitter account dropped a tweet and then deleted it. It's supposedly going to be out the next season, December 28th or 29th. And the first name, they have the first name if you look it up. I can't remember what it was, but
yeah. Well, the last thing I heard was that we were going to get a holiday special that was a choose your own adventure style episode.
No.
Where you'd actually be able to click
push buttons.
Push buttons within the episode to call up different scenes based on your choices.
Wow.
So that would be really cool. But that was kind of the last thing I heard. But anyway, this report is out. It is called The Global Television Demand Report, Audience Title Discovery, SVOD Platform Growth, Digital Original Series Popularity, and Global Genre TV Demand Trends in 2017.
Holy crap, dude. Okay. Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, so again, check out some of this stuff. Dig into it. It really informs a lot of what we've been talking about. The next thing I'm going to mention, again, related to streaming and IP. The internet went into a panic mode earlier this week when it was rumored that the TV show Friends, which isn't like recent content, people. You've had a long time to watch Friends.
Right.
I bought these DVDs in 2004.
Would be leaving Netflix on New Year's Day. So, again, this really panicked a lot of people. Netflix has reassured its subscribers that Friends will stay on through 2019, but the New York Times reports that Netflix will pay Warner Brothers, which own the rights, $100 million to keep Friends.
To keep a show that they produced in the mid-90s?
Yes.
This is nuts.
So, I have to think that somewhere they have statistics that indicate they can get away with canceling Daredevil and they won't take a hit to their subscriber base, but an established show that people love to watch and rewatch and have on in the background, if they lose that, they will take a hit.
Yeah, but the Daredevil thing, you have to think like a business at this point. Disney's going to all market their stuff there. Do you really want, on top of that, to market their stuff on your service that's competing straight with you, which they are taking everything else away? I mean, Netflix is not a bad guy, the bad guy here, so...
Just because you're a bad guy does not mean you're a bad guy.
You're a bad guy. As something like Friends, they know exactly what it's doing. They know exactly how many people. There's not going to be new stuff. So it's a better investment for them than a relationship that can break at any time. And that is not good for your overall marketing.
That's kind of how Netflix is in my mind. Just like Amazon Prime. Unless you buy it, and you guys have told me they can change anything, blah, blah, blah.
They can change the rules.
Let's say they don't. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you love Friends, own the discs.
Yeah, but
guys,
let's say they don't change the rules, okay? You buy them from Amazon or you buy them from Vudu and you have them, okay? But everything else that you are getting this free content like Prime or Netflix, it is like a shaky relationship. One day I could be halfway through my fucking favorite set of documentaries and then next day they're gone.
You're halfway through your 10-year rewatch of Friends.
Right.
You know, all 10 seasons or whatever.
And Netflix always puts that, or there's websites that put those things out that say, you know, you at the end of this month.
Leaving at the end of the month, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
And then you try to cram it all in.
This isn't such a knee-jerk thing. Well, now you can download it, too.
2 months later, they put it back. And you're like, damn it.
Yeah.
I could have slow played it.
But also, this is also motivated by the fact that Warners, are planning their own three-tiered streaming service because this shit isn't complicated enough. If you haven't been paying attention, they want to find new ways to get you to spend money. So you would pay the base plan would include pre-existing content such as Friends. So you could have kind of your bargain plan, which is stuff that is not streaming originals. And then you would pay for an upgrade for digital original series.
Oh, God.
And then there would be a third tier to unlock extra content of licensed stuff, like, you know, they own HBO, so... You know, you could see
this
the end of
H. Horrible.
You could see the end of HBO Go, and then you'd have to pay for the highest tier of the Warner streaming.
This is
to get
horrible
that content.
Because now this is they fuck. They've just created a model to screw everybody even more. Now Netflix will have the stuff that it
right.
licenses.
Right, you have your
and then
your
they'll
two
have
tiers.
Their stuff
yep.
they create. Yep. And then they're bigger. Oh, this is
or
bad.
Or if you want the Friends plan, if you want the $100 million, get all seasons of Friends, you have to shell out an extra $3 a month,
oh,
whatever
this
it is.
This is fucking stupid. We're going to be oversaturated and paying more money than we were ever
yep.
for cable. And
yep.
fuck.
I'm just going to keep sampling.
You know what I need to do? Then you all actually will have to get like a Roku where you can just type in what you're looking for that day, and it'll tell you
yep.
what services it's on.
Yep.
Otherwise,
pay for that day. Yep.
Well, or but you're as opposed to getting sitting down and trying to search for 20 or 40 minutes before
yep.
you go to bed what you're going to watch. You're going to have
right.
to figure out. You're going to have to have like a list or something to tell you what service what show is on.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous. It's like when we choose a movie, what do we do? We're like, okay, is that on Netflix? Yeah. Okay, yes, it is here. Oh, no, it's not in Canada. Oh, shit. Okay, let's go check on Prime. Oh, we go nuts with that stuff.
Yeah. Is it on Vudu?
To
can
buying
I rent it?
DVDs, which I buy, I throw away the case
and put
the disc in a binder, which is stupid.
I hate you both. Now I should really start doing that again. But digital's so easy.
It is so easy
and so convenient, and believe me, you will pay for that convenience.
But I paid for them already. Damn it.
They'll find a way to make you pay again and again and again.
Oh, sounds like every relationship I've ever had.
How many times did you buy Star Wars? I mean, I stopped at a DVD.
Right,
I
right.
bought a bunch, but I know they have like I stopped
when I got the DVD that was the original theatrical release, no special edition, extra scene,
the
yada,
Walmart
yada.
Exclusive bonus disc. Yeah.
Once I got that, I was like, I have the original one. Everything else is just fucking
around.
Can I
be honest?
Like,
the originals, I think I only have on VHS.
That's good. Hang on to that and keep your VCR in working order.
Yeah, my VHS version, the problem is that they're in French.
Let's get away from TV and streaming and talk about something else that has been frustrating the hell out of us this week. When the hell are we getting the trailer for Avengers 4? Stop telling me it's tomorrow.
Wednesday morning.
Am I the only one who doesn't give it? Lying.
Honestly,
fuck.
No,
I'm going to go see the movie anyway.
I didn't care up until Monday morning when everyone was like, we're probably going to get one on Wednesday morning. The new Captain Marvel came out, so we're probably going to get one. I'm like, you know, that'd be kind of cool. I guess it's 5 months away or whatever. I'm excited to see it. And then it's not here. So now it feels like St. Nick, right? I got coal. I didn't get anything.
Yeah, coal in your stocking. So here's
wait,
two
is tonight St. Nick? They're going to drop it tonight, tomorrow morning.
So I had some shower thoughts.
Oh, God.
About this.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. So I was thinking this morning, I don't want to see the trailer for Avengers 4. I don't want to know the title for Avengers 4. I just want to be told it's coming out on such and such a day. I want to go to the theater. I want to sit down and watch the movie. And I want it to be one of those movies where they don't show you the title card at the beginning. They show you the title card at the end. At the end of the movie with the end credits.
Oh.
So the whole time, you just sit there. Watch the movie, you know absolutely nothing that's going to happen, and then you see the whole movie, and then they tell you the title, and you go, oh yeah, of course, right? And that's what I want. And
that'd be great.
So there's a chance that when the trailer comes out, I'm not going to watch it.
Nah, you're still working here, man.
Yeah, I can take my headphones off while you guys talk about it.
I guess you could. Fun. Honestly, when did you come to this? Were you like, now that they're dicking you around with the trailer, is this something that just happened?
Yeah, it was when all of this happened and people were getting worked up, and I was reading comments online like, oh my god, like, I don't care that, you know, so and so former president died, like, whatever.
Oh, that's
like,
just give us the damn trailer. Stupid.
And I was like, you know what? I honestly don't care. I don't think that seeing the trailer is going to increase my enjoyment of the film. I don't even know if knowing the title will change my expectation for the film.
You don't
film.
Think it'll increase your, not expectation, your anticipation for the film by seeing the trailer? Maybe not, I mean, enjoyment, but...
Maybe if I don't watch it, I will be that much more anticipatory. Obviously, I'll never escape people talking about the trailer, and I'll check my news feed and see, like, references to it, but... I don't know, like, maybe just going to see it. And so much of the shit that's in trailers isn't in the final movie. There were shots in the trailer for Avengers Infinity War that weren't in
Hulk
the actual movie that you sat there waiting for. And you know what? Maybe I don't need that noise.
I think that's like the most level-headed thing you've said, and you say a lot of level-headed stuff.
Ever said in my life.
Not ever.
And the other, the other thing that I thought was, they're also saying, well, the Avengers 4 trailer is going to come out on Friday, and then on Saturday we're going to give you the trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home, which I don't really believe. I don't think that they would step on their own
toes.
Why
would they give us the Spider-Man thing? He's dead.
I also kind of thought, well, they just gave us another trailer for Captain Marvel, so they want to let that set. And they've leaked out that, oh, we're going to we're going to release the Avengers 4 trailer soon. So people go on YouTube and they watch the Captain Marvel trailer, because that's the only
thing recent.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're going to psych. And then they're going to give us the Spider-Man trailer, and people are going to watch the hell out of
that. No, because he's dead. I think that we're not going to get Spider-Man trailer till after Avengers 4.
Because he doesn't feel so good, Mr. Stark. Right.
They're trying to bury Aquaman. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, that's telling.
I've heard it's cool. We've talked. It's quite good. All right, let's get to some trailer flushing here.
Yeah, we actually have some trailers. Actual trailers
that we want to talk about.
That we've watched. Yeah. All right, the first trailer is... Netflix.
Ultraman.
No. Netflix original. Ultraman. They're branching out, doing more anime. What do you guys think? Do you like Ultraman? Are you excited for Grandpa Ultraman? What's happening?
You know what? I am, because everything they've rebooted in this style at this point has been great. Voltron has been great. I hear that She-Ra is awesome.
Uh-huh. You like Castlevania?
I love Castlevania. We just finished watching Knights of Sidonia, which is fucking amazing.
I'm like halfway through that.
Yeah, okay. I was like, this is a beef show.
Yeah,
I was
watching halfway through it.
It's so good. So, you know, Netflix is good at that shit. I'll watch Ultraman, no problem.
Same thing with Neo Genesis. I am...
Yeah, yep. But it's not new.
No, this is the OG. This is...
Yeah, that's that great. I was shocked to learn, because it's a new recut trailer for a show that has been out for, what, decades now?
Yeah, but it's 30 years, yep. Maybe? Yeah, maybe less, but it's one of the original, like...
Right,
yeah,
right.
It's Akira age, maybe. Maybe not. I'm wrong. But anyways, still,
but it's,
good shit.
It's kind of a big deal.
I've never seen it in its entirety. This is the first, I think, streaming release of it?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah.
Official streaming release, yeah. Which, again, like, it shows that there's a market for having a catalog of pre-existing stuff as well. Like, don't just remake everything. Like, don't remake Friends. Just have Friends.
Why do you think that Disney bought Fox for that much money? They don't care about Fox. They want the catalog.
Yep, the catalog, yeah.
Look at, we're talking catalog. Look at what Friends is worth for Warner Brothers. Just one show. Now, imagine they've been producing since.
I Am the Night, which is a TNT limited series from Patty Jenkins, director of Wonder Woman, and Chris Pine, co-star.
I was like,
co-star.
Why is Patty and Chris Pine on that?
They're doing TV, man.
Wow.
What is this? Can you dig it?
Well, I'm going to watch it.
Did I miss
Patty
this?
Jenkins, but...
I might have missed this trailer. When did you put this in here?
Last week. And said we were going to talk about it this week.
Well, I'll check it out, even though I don't have TNT, so I'll probably have to get their streaming service.
Yeah, it looks like, of course, it's a period movie.
Okay.
Centered around the Black Dahlia murders.
Okay.
Kind of a Hollywoodland type deal. Star Trek Short Treks, The Brightest Star. We're going to get the origin story of Saru.
I'm excited. I just, again, I wish these were longer than 15 or 19 minutes or whatever they are.
Yeah.
That's because they want you to subscribe to the streaming service.
They say,
don't cancel your subscription, please.
Please.
we're going to bring you a Picard series
like in a year. So
if I haven't subscribed already for the full show, this extra hour of content over the last 5 months isn't going to do it.
Yeah. but right now, you know, these studies, like the one we were talking before, they say that Star Trek show is the most important driver of subscription. So yeah.
That's because it's the only thing they have.
No. Overall.
Yeah.
People are more drived to subscribe to this than Netflix because they have Star Trek.
Yeah.
I could see that. But again, I don't know. That's the only thing that they have out there.
Yeah, but they reinvented Star Trek through every generation, so they're touching the 15 to 85 demographic, which is huge.
The big. Stan and Ollie, the U.S. trailer.
Looks.
This was, we watched the trailer for this before, and I don't think it was...
This telling?
Anywhere. No, it was not the tone that this trailer takes, which I thought was really, really interesting, because if you told me what Stan and Ollie was about, they hate each other, right? And that's what was I got from the first trailer. This trailer, I'm like, oh my god, they really love each other. And then I was like, fuck, what did they just do? They just gave away the movie.
That's okay. Like, I think maybe what they probably were doing is going, okay, well, the first trailer isn't playing so well, and they're like,
Let's put one that shows
the heartstrings and get people in there crying.
Yeah. And that's exactly what this did, which I kind of loved.
I was like, I texted my girl, like, we might have to go see Stan and Ollie.
It looks good. The Grand Tour, Season 3, speaking of a couple old men getting into shenanigans.
I still love these. I mean,
this reminds me of the way it used to be.
Yeah, well, basically, they went in America and kept doing Top Gear. That's basically what they did.
Right,
it's still good.
They took what was good about Top Gear, which the BBC said you can't work for us anymore, or at least they said it to Clarkson, and the other two just went along. And BBC is, I think, sad when they look at the list of in-demand series from Parrot Analytics, and they see the Top Gear is in the top of like every country, or they see the Grand Tour in the top of every country. And
does Top Gear still hair?
Top Gear is still around, my friend.
Is there a Top Gear, the American one?
There, no, not the American one, I don't think. But the BBC still makes a Top Gear. Up until recently, I think it had Matt LeBlanc, TV's Joey, in the one of the co-host roles.
No.
So, co-presenter.
That just seems awkward.
Yeah. Anyway, that's one of the good reasons why I have Prime. I love watching
that Amazon show. Prime, the Grand Tour. Marvelous Miss Maisel, Season 2 comes out soon as well.
Oh, cool.
They Shall Not Grow Old. Speaking of things that will tug
Dusty
at your heartstrings, how about Peter Jackson directing a documentary of restored footage from World War
Colorized.
I? Which, colorized.
With lip readers and shit, so you know what the people were saying.
You know what they're saying.
This got me right in the fucking feels, because they're like, you know, these people
and
are never met.
It was 100 years ago, 1918 to 2018. What in the world?
These people will never, you know, grow old, and it shouldn't be in black and white. And they flip over to the color, and it's still that little bit of washed out color, but it... It was honestly eerie.
It brings it alive.
Because it felt so real. We've only seen so much of this footage ever in black and white. And it was like, I don't know, it gave it an extra layer of creepy and sad. I don't know.
And it's real.
Yes.
And it's real. And I think this movie is going to be a big deal. I think this is going to be a change in documentary filmmaking that people are going to say, holy shit.
Have you seen the World War II?
I have seen some of the World War II stuff in color.
Yeah, that was amazing,
that they've
too.
Done. But
I think this is above and beyond, because it's 100-year-old stock.
This is a Ken Burns Civil War that like captured popular attention.
How about
I think this will
Ken Burns almost anything. I mean,
yeah, sure.
Let's be honest.
Baseball, national parks,
that voice.
Jazz, whatever.
Damn.
Yep. Okay, so we've talked about some good trailers. Let's talk about Watership Down.
I'm unsure. The book, okay. I like the story, but this looks... The voice cast is fucking amazing, yet this looks like...
And that's where they spent all their money.
This looks like the cheapest college CGI dorm room shit you can get. And I almost bought in up until they showed the Rottweiler or the dog. And I was like, where's all the money?
So why did we watch that bullshit? Why is it?
So
that's a very good
Watership,
book, literary book.
Watership Down is a classic novel. And it's perhaps only surpassed by the animated TV version that the BBC produced
the
in the
1980s.
80s,
yeah.
70s or 80s, yeah.
So it's a rabbit book? Rabbit book?
Yeah.
It is about rabbits, yes. But it's so much more. It's also terrifying
as
and
a child,
violent
yeah.
and
will it's like warring ruin rabbits your and it's yep. like basically yeah. the Sharks and the Jets or whatever as
and
rabbits.
And then also man's destruction of the natural world.
And you're reading this at 8 or seeing the cartoon at 8 or 10.
Yeah. And I think what the BBC has effectively done is taken this classic tale, updated it for modern times with the technology of about 15 years ago. And it looks like, as it was described to me, it's a bad PS2 cutscene on a video game.
Oh.
And you're right, it's an amazing voice cast, but you look at even the recent trailer for The Lion King, or you look at The Jungle Book, and you're like, okay, I can buy into a movie with talking animals and stuff. Holy crap, what is this? Why?
Look, I can,
why would they do
I
this?
I can do anime. I can do a lot of stuff. I can suspend disbelief. It's not that hard, but this takes me out of it because I'm like, how?
It's the...
Go ahead.
It's set... These rabbits live in the Uncanny Valley. They went too far towards realism, but like if they had stuck maybe with like stylization and done what some like what a Pixar movie does, and you can tell that like they're animals, but it's not like supposed to be real. This is
anything would have looked better.
They're really trying to make it look real, and it does not. So watch this trailer.
I have it.
And be fucking appalled.
I got it. Lawnmower rabbits.
Ugh.
Lawnmower man, but rabbits.
Yeah, it's horrible. Horrible. And basically, every media outlet was like, oh, it'll tug your heartstrings and this and that. And every comment is like, this is terrible. Why are they doing this?
I've seen short movies that are better.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Internet produced. Anyway. Bad news. Bad news, rabbits.
Back to a good trailer, though. At least I thought it was quite fun.
Yeah, let's close out on a high note.
Captain Marvel, the second trailer. I think this will be a fun ride. I'm ready to take my lady friend and have us enjoy another Marvel origin story that she doesn't have to know everything for.
And this, it seems like it's setting this up that what happens in this movie kind of sets up the Marvel universe in the modern era. And there's definitely something going on with that cat.
Why?
Yeah, there is.
Why?
How do you think Fury loses his eye?
Stop. That would be awesome.
last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye.
That would be awesome. The cat's like, Ralph's, and it just runs away with his eye.
Well, in the comics, the cat's an alien. So.
That's right. It's a Skrull or whatever, right?
Yep. And its name is Chewbacca. But I think they change it for the movie, which is lame.
I mean, aren't they both owned by Disney?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty lame.
Yeah. Yeah, this trailer looks great. I love that it's kind of intercut, which I think is from the movie, because you have these beats throughout the trailer where it's her at different ages, like falling down and then standing back up and things. I think that's going to be a part of the film as well. So it'll kind of have an interesting narrative structure, I think.
I like the Mohawk helmet.
Love it. Yeah. Oh, so great and classic. And this is, I mean, if this is a harbinger for where Marvel is going and making things even more comic realistic and accurate, I think that's good.
It's another Marvel movie.
Okay.
That's where I stand on these movies at the moment.
Thanks, bud. Thanks, bud. Go ahead. Yeah, don't watch the trailers.
Do you like Black Panther?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, so maybe this will be kind of a new fun origin story without being the same origin. You know what? You're no fun anymore. It's been almost 300.
400
episodes. It's been almost 350 casts for me, and you are still as much no fun as you were before.
So French.
Yeah, but at this point, after 350, when you watch a movie, you're able to get the Chekhov's gun of everything.
Oh, I know, and I hate you for it.
Well, like, I called out the cat.
Yeah, something like that. But you never saw these. And at some point, I was like, come on, Beef. It's movie structure, movie language. And then it opened, and he started to see.
I hate him for it. So, yeah, that's
just a little random stuff to throw in. I'm seeing Aquaman a week early.
Ooh.
Thanks to Amazon Prime.
Nice.
You're able to get tickets through Amazon Prime for being a member at select theaters to see it on Saturday before the wide release.
So this weekend?
So I will see it. We'll see it on the 15th.
Oh, nice, nice. I should be seeing Spider-Man then. Yours is probably way cooler, but...
I will be back with an early report on
how much can
Aquaman.
You say about that.
As far as I know, it's being treated like
they're releasing it.
No, you're right.
They're
you're
releasing
right.
it, so you're
okay.
I will come back, and I will tell you exactly how many fish he has sex with.
Next time, Legends Podcast.
There you go.
401. Highlander, Second Opinion with Will Rumdaddy.
Yeah, this is a big deal. This is one of my favorite movies. finally being given a second chance.
I will have to rewatch it and try to pay more attention than phone games this time. So
after 2 years on this podcast.
No. If we do that, I'm getting soldiered every 2 years. So, no.
Well,
Beef is never going to sign on that.
We're still already doing Highlander next week, so you're going to have to watch that.
I like Soldier.
I don't,
so we can
and that's fine.
It.
I'll just say I watched it again. I don't have
can
to.
Can I watch the Highlander TV show instead?
That was one that had the Queen song, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
All right. This has been episode 400 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, well, it's probably a lot more than that if you add in all the other shit, like just the newscasts and all the blah, blah, blahs. But thank you, everybody, for listening to us and putting up with us and being here to giggle at us.
Yep. Thank you for still being here after 8 years. What the hell are you doing? Go out. But if you go out, keep the podcast on your phone and keep listening to us. So thank you very much. Also, for Sean, penis.
I'm John Lobster. Whew, saying here's to another 400. I'll see you at 800, I guess.
What? As long as Beef keep producing it, I'll keep showing up.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like watching movies, so and trailers and news. That's stuff I do anyway. So might as well talk to a couple really cool guys about it.
You must be talking to Wing and someone else, but hey. We'll make this work, and I'll keep doing my stuff, and you guys keep doing your stuff. So,
yeah, but that's real, though. Thank you, Beef. You took over the old production while I could catch really
half the production, and I'm sorry. Thank you. I didn't want everyone to know that, you know, I edit, and that's why it sounds like shit. But, hey, we release casts every week, so.
There you go.
I write I write the show notes, and that's why we always talk about the same shit for news. And
but apparently,
I write stupid puns.
No trailers for Infinity War 2 or whatever. So
no, that's my fault.
I know. We'll figure it out. All right. Again, this has been episode 400. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll see you for at least 400 more. Oof.
Inconceivable.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or Kraken Cast. No infringement is intended.